Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast. I am your host, Matt Shook, and this is the episode for Wednesday, November 8th. The Detroit Pistons are 7-3 and will continue their five-game homestand tonight at Little Caesars Arena against the Indiana Pacers. The homestand will continue Friday night against the Atlanta Hawks and then concluding Sunday afternoon with a 4 o'clock tip against the Miami Heat right after a Lions home game in downtown Detroit. The road trip will then commence after that with the Milwaukee Bucks, the new-look Milwaukee Bucks, on Wednesday, and then Indiana again, and then the Minnesota Timberwolves for a second time this year as well. So a lot of winnable games on the horizon for the Detroit Pistons, who are 7-3 and up near the top of the NBA standings. We'll talk about Indiana a little bit later in the show and tell you all you need to know about the Pacers for Wednesday night's game, about what makes them tick and the big trade that they made in the offseason that is paying dividends so far this year. But speaking of trades, the big news in the NBA on Tuesday morning, it broke that the Phoenix Suns and Milwaukee Bucks had made a deal with former Piston Greg Monroe on the way to the land of the rising sun with a first-round pick and a second-round pick for point guard Eric Bledsoe, who will be heading to the Central Division, a Pistons rival with the Milwaukee Bucks. The Pistons will be playing the Bucks, like I said, next week on Wednesday, and then again in Milwaukee, again in early December. I'm planning on being at that game next Wednesday, a week from today. But it will not be Bledsoe's home debut, as the Bucks are playing two home games before the Pistons come to town next week. But a little bit about that deal. Greg Monroe, former Piston Moose, is an expiring deal for the books now for the Suns. He's due $17.8 million. This season, he's coming off an injury. He should be ready to go soon. The rumors as of right now, as of Tuesday night, are that the Suns will look to try to trade Monroe as they're in complete rebuild, teardown mode. They've got all sorts of young players, including Detroiter Josh Jackson, who was picked this year with the number 4th pick of the draft. And Monroe, like I said, will be looked to be shipped by the Suns. Bledsoe, on the other hand, has 2 years left on his deal. He's making $14.5 million this year, $15 million next year. He was the highest paid player on the Suns roster, but notoriously cheap owner Robert Sarver is looking to cut some costs. Bledsoe apparently reportedly asked for a trade in the preseason before all the drama unfolded with Coach Earl Watson getting fired after 3 games. The Suns were handled in embarrassing fashion through the first 3 games of the season. The famous tweet from Eric Bledsoe says, "I don't want to be here." A little bit of confusion on what that was about. He tried to tell the general manager of the Suns that was a hair salon that he was at, that he didn't want to be at, and that he lied his way out of that one. The Suns GM said he did not believe him at the time. And Bledsoe never played another game for the Phoenix Suns. They sent him home after that, and that probably ended up hurting his trade value a little bit and maybe made sure that the Suns weren't able to get as much for Bledsoe as you might think for a young point guard on the open market. The Pistons were involved in this a little bit as a third party, as the rumors broke out late last week that the Pistons had offered point guard Reggie Jackson and a first-round pick for Eric Bledsoe to Phoenix. It later came out that it was maybe a three-team deal proposed that included the New Orleans Pelicans, and that Jackson would end up going down to the Big Easy. The first-round pick would go to Phoenix, and then Eric Bledsoe would come to Detroit, probably with some more moving parts in that deal somewhere with the Pelicans, stripping some contracts as well. But Stan Van Gundy did apparently call Reggie Jackson on Friday night before, coincidentally, the Pistons played the Bucks, and let him know that there was no such deal in the works. And if you hear about a trade with the Pistons and rumors, it usually turns out that that's not going to happen, as Stan Van Gundy is usually pretty tight-lipped. There's not a lot of leaking going on within the Pistons front office before a deal is made. It's just kind of made, and that's it, just like the Marcus Morris, Avery Bradley deal, and all the other deals that Stan Van Gundy's made in his tenure with the Pistons. Now, the Bucks are making an obvious bet here on Bledsoe that even though the things ended very poorly for him in Phoenix, that he's going to be on his best behavior with Milwaukee. And, of course, he'll certainly be asked to raise the level of the defensive play of Coach Jason Kidd's team. We saw it firsthand as Pistons fans last week as the Pistons handled Milwaukee at Little Caesars Arena while the Bucks had their problems defensively. They've got Giannis Antetokounmpo, so obviously they've got a guy who can fill it up and should be a defensive presence going forward. But with Malcolm Brogdon in the backcourt and Jabari Parker coming back later this year after another knee injury, Jason Kidd and the Milwaukee Bucks front office believed that they needed a shot in the arm defensively, which Bledsoe should provide, and also someone who should be able to create his own offense as well. He's not much of a spot-up shooter, which those around the league on Twitter, I saw today a lot of the experts talked about how Giannis might need a little bit more of that around him. They got Chris Middleton on the wing as well, who provides some shooting, but the Bucks are maybe still a work in progress as far as going forward. But as I mentioned, the Bucks are obviously making a bet on Eric Bledsoe, but something I haven't really seen talked about is that there's some strange pick protections in the deal. If the first round pick is between the picks 11 and 16 of next year, that means the Phoenix Suns get it. So if somehow the Bucks completely miss the playoffs and nosedive this year, they will still keep their pick. And if they do go to the playoffs, they will still keep their pick too. In 2019, those pick protections move to the Phoenix Suns only getting the pick if it's between pick 4 and 16. So an even more extreme version of the Bucks keeping it if their franchise goes in a nosedive, which is really hard to believe that that would happen as long as Giannis stays healthy. In 2020, that pick moves on to just being protected in top 7. In 2021, it becomes an unprotected pick. Now, what's interesting if you look at the Milwaukee Bucks salary structure is that 2021 will actually be the last year of Giannis' current deal right now that he extended after his rookie contract. So not only are the Phoenix Suns or the Milwaukee Bucks making a bet on Eric Bledsoe, I think the Phoenix Suns, in a little bit of a shrewd maneuver here, are making a bet that possibly the Bucks will implode a little bit and Giannis might be traded late in his contract or maybe be bolting at the end of his deal. And I'm telling you what, from the outside looking in, there might be something to that bet. There's a three-man ownership group that took over from the Senator Herb Cole that's had a little bit of problems with cohesion. Jason Kidd's involved with one of the owners. John Hammond, former Pistons executive, was kind of run out of town when he wasn't getting assurances about his future with the team. And the Bucks promoted young man John Horst, who's, by the way, from Sandusky, Michigan, in the Thumb, came up with the Pistons under John Hammond as an unpaid intern and paid his dues and is now in charge of the Bucks and pulled the trigger on this deal as the general manager of a Eastern Conference playoff team that's thought to be up and coming. So a little bit of a surprise around NBA circles there. We're rooting for Horst as a local guy, but to be in that position on a team that with a tenuous future with Giannis. And I don't want to, you know, take Milwaukee Bucks fans' greatest fears and overblow them and say Giannis is going to be courted by the Lakers and the Knicks and all those teams that you hear about every time a big star comes into possibly thinking about moving on to a different team. But man, it feels like the Phoenix Suns are kind of making a little bit of a calculated move there by putting off this first-round pick that they'll be getting someday from the Milwaukee Bucks and thinking that maybe if things go wrong a little bit for this Bucks franchise with the ownership problems, the strains and tug-of-wars that are going on in the front office right now, that maybe that's what the Bucks are thinking about. So something to keep in mind as you're thinking about the future of the Phoenix Suns and the future of the Milwaukee Bucks, a rival team for the Detroit Pistons. What this means for the Pistons, though, is your rival certainly got stronger for this year and probably next, and that the driving lanes won't be quite as easy to come by for the Pistons going forward. And like I said, I'll have a firsthand look at that at the Bradley Center next week as the Pistons return to take on those rival Bucks in what could be a Central Division showdown there next week. But I want to tell you guys one more time about the Draft app that you can find on your Apple or Android device, or also you can just go old school and check it out at draft.com and use promo code LO Pistons, all caps, when you sign up for your account, and that will get you a $3 entry. And if you follow me on the app at Matt Shook, all one word, Matt S-C-H-O-C-H, we'll get you set up in the Draft Wednesday special contest through Locked On Pistons. So follow me, and I'll send you an invite to the draft, which will be at 5:30 p.m. Eastern leading up to Wednesday's games. The Pistons, of course, play the Indiana Pacers, so you can draft all the Pistons that you'd like in that one. It's the best daily fantasy app that I've ever used. And like I said, Pistons will be available. We'll have that draft at 5:30 p.m. Eastern. If you got any questions about how to get involved or get the app, you can reach out to me on Twitter at Matt_SCHOCH and then another underscore after that. And you don't have to be available and present for that 5:30 draft on Wednesday night. If you're signed up, you can auto rank your players if you prefer and do kind of a pre-draft ranking where it'll end up drafting your team for you. And with all, you know, there won't be too many teams in the draft, and when people set up a second draft or maybe even third draft if we get a lot of listeners involved. But it's a fun app and you have a good chance of winning some money, as we'll keep the entries low for this week as there's only 5 games on the NBA slate. So join us on there and let me know if you got any questions. So we want you to be a well-informed fan heading into Wednesday night's game against the Indiana Pacers. So here's everything you need to know as you get ready for Wednesday's broadcast on Fox Sports Detroit, or possibly you're heading down to Little Caesars Arena in downtown Detroit. The Pacers are coming in at 5-6. They started off real hot at 5-3 to start the season, but have recently gone into a 3-game slide, dropping games to the Philadelphia 76ers and New York Knicks, and then on Tuesday night to the New Orleans Pelicans at home. So the Pacers will be on a back-to-back, coming in late Tuesday night after that loss at home to Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins. So those guys really worked down low and each had 30 points plus in the win against the Pacers on Tuesday night. But the Pacers have been a real thorn in the side of the Pistons. Pistons fans already know that over the years, and especially of late. The Pacers got a 4-game season series sweep last year, which helped them get to the 7th seed of the Eastern Conference playoffs. And really, that 4-0 mark really helped keep the Pistons out of the playoff picture last year as well. And even more further than that, they've won 9 out of the last 10 matchups against the Detroit Bad Boys. The Pistons fans know that they have had more important success against the Pacers in past years, though, as there were back-to-back 6-game series wins in the conference finals and second round during the Tayshaun Prince, Chauncey Billups, Ben Wallace era that led to the championship in 2004. So the Bad Boys also took out the Pacers in a first-round series in 1990. So 3-0 in playoff matchups for Detroit. And oh, the teams fought once. I don't know, maybe you remember that. But for now, the Pacers' best player is Miles Turner, a big man, is in his third year out of Texas. He was the 11th pick of the 2015 draft, which is the same year that the Pistons took Stanley Johnson with the 8th pick. So Stan Van Gundy's certainly scratching his head over that one, but really was the only player that really amounted to much that slipped past the Pistons in that one. It was not a very deep draft. In retrospect, you had Karl Anthony Towns first, Kristaps Porzingis fourth, and then Turner is probably the third best player in that draft. In retrospect, he's just coming back off an injury, so just getting his season started. Wednesday night will be his 4th game, of course, assuming that he does play in a back-to-back. He's getting 15-9 so far this year. He had a strong second year last year, got 14 points and 7 rebounds a year ago. As every season goes on, he's expanding his range into three-point land. He's now knocking down a three-pointer a game as he's growing up a little bit in his year 21 season. Paul George has been their best player for many years, but he got traded in the offseason. He was entering his walk year of his contract and has made a lot of noise about heading back home to play for the LA Lakers. And so Larry Bird, who was in charge of the team, stepped down from the presidency and was taken over by Kevin Pritchard, who was his assistant general manager. And he pulled the trigger on the deal for Paul George, sending him to Oklahoma City for Victor Oladipo and also Sabonis, the young player out of Gonzaga as well. Funny thing has happened in that deal. The Pacers really got ripped apart for that one, as it was figured that they could get more for Paul George. But a funny thing has happened, as both Sabonis and Oladipo have played really well for Coach Nate McMillan and the Pacers. Oladipo is getting up near 24 points a game so far this year, and Sabonis has been a real strong player inside, getting 13-10 so far. The Pacers also have Thaddeus Young, Bogdanovich they picked up in the offseason. They got a veteran point guard in Darren Collison. In free agency, they also picked up former Raptor Corey Joseph of Canada. And Al Jefferson's trying to resurrect his career with the Pacers off the bench. And they also got Lance Stephenson, so all bets are off. Anything can certainly happen in this game when you throw Lance Stephenson out on the court. Pritchard took over for Larry Bird, who's now with a consulting role after being a coach and president for the team for many years of his home state club. Of course, he's from French Lick, Indiana. So Pritchard was a noted deal maker as the Portland GM a few years back, and he played at Kansas himself. So the Pacers might be a team that's going to be wheeling and dealing for these next few years, as the rebuild hasn't quite as been a painful so far as fans might have thought. When they made the deal to send Paul George for a couple of parts that were not as heralded as some of the other trade acquisitions that were made in the offseason, folks thought that maybe they were going to be in the same grouping as the Chicago Bulls and Atlanta Hawks, who might be at the bottom of the NBA this year. But the Pacers seem to be at least a step ahead of those teams and possibly could play themselves into the playoff discussion, as it's really not that hard to surprise a couple of folks and be, you know, a little bit better than maybe you were projected. There's just not very many good teams in the Eastern Conference, so it wouldn't take much for the Pacers to have a pretty good season and to be into that playoff race. So that's all you need to know about the Indiana Pacers. Like we said, the Pistons are playing them Wednesday night. They're going to be in Indiana next week, so you'll be getting very familiar with the team as a Pistons fan right now, and of course one of the main rivals of the Detroit Pistons over the years. So that's all you need to know. We'll be keeping a close eye on Wednesday's game, and we'll have a recap on Thursday morning here on the Lockdown Pistons podcast. This is your host, Matt Shook, and that'll do it for today. Thanks for joining us, everyone. Have a great one.